Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you think it's fair to say that we have experienced some chaos over this last year? I'm guessing there's no aspect of your life that hasn't been affected in some form by chaos, and that you may have felt more of a lack of control than maybe almost any other point in your life. Normal life. Do you remember what that is? Even in normal life, there is always some level of chaos, but maybe it hasn't felt as persistent as it is right now. There's always some unknown. There's some uncertainty about the future. There's change that feels chaotic to us. So how are you doing today? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being over the top, out of control, how would you rate your feeling with regard to chaos today? Now, we all have different levels of tolerance for chaos, for confusion, for the unknown, for surprises, for uncertainty. And no matter how much of a thrill seeker you are, no matter how much you may like the idea of jumping out of a plane or bungee jumping or a very fast and dangerous roller coaster, it really gets your adrenaline going. But you still seek that thrill within some level of structure and trust. You're not going to get onto a dangerous roller coaster that hasn't been serviced in 5 years. You're also not going to jump out of a plane unless you know that the parachute has been packed properly. Most of us probably don't really like the presence of chaos in our lives. But when it gets really bad, we want stability, we want calm, we want knowledge, we want control. We want clarity to emerge from our chaos. Today, I'd like to use the scriptures as a way to help us reflect on the chaos in our lives and our search for clarity, both as a matter of faith and just the way we go about living our lives and as we search for what a new normal might be as society continues to open up. The Bible is no stranger to chaos. The opening pages of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 is the story of creation, and it speaks about how order comes out of chaos as the days of creation unfold. Our reading from Numbers today is a part of the story of the Israelites wandering for 40 years after they left bondage in Egypt. While in that unknown place, they were besieged by poisonous snakes who began biting them, and many of the Israelites died. Chaos. Until Moses lifted up a bronze serpent on a pole, and the people looked at that bronze serpent in according to the command of God, and they lived. The disciples were used to chaos and confusion and uncertainty also. Theirs started from the moment that Jesus asked them to follow me. Last week we read about Jesus rattling some cages as he drove out the money changers from the temple and overturned their tables. Today in our gospel reading, Jesus speaks of his death. And throughout the disciples' time with Jesus, I'm sure they were trying to make sense out of the things that he was telling them about what would happen, what would become of him, and what they believed, what they saw unfolding before their very eyes. You'll notice that wherever there has been chaos, the chaos itself has made way for humanity to see the presence of God, and that God has always been present, even when the chaos has seemed out of control. See, our tendency is to spend as little time in those moments of chaos because it's uncomfortable. We don't like that feeling of chaos. It takes so much of our time, our energy. But then we rush to clarity because of that discomfort, because of the harm maybe that we experience from chaos. But today I'd like us to linger a bit in chaos. I don't know how much you know about ancient Greek mythology, but they understood the beginning of creation with some similarities to our own understanding. It began with a formless void, which they personified as chaos. And the earth was formed, which they personified as Gaia. These two, chaos and Gaia, chaos and order, they were seen as partners, not adversaries. So while we try to avoid chaos in our lives, we organize, we systematize, we try to control, we write policies and do all sorts of things to control what happens around us and to minimize chaos and to promote order. The Greeks saw these as necessary parts of one another. When held together, even with the discomfort that chaos brings, they also bring about creativity. They bring about energy and life. What difference do you think it would make if we embraced chaos and even viewed it as necessary? Out of the chaos of the formless void that we read about in Genesis 1, God brought about creation. Out of the chaos of people being bitten by the poisonous serpents, God offered hope and possibility. God offered life. Out of the chaos of Jesus' arrest, trial, and brutal crucifixion, God offered new life. We experience the chaos of COVID. We experience the chaos of social unrest and division that feels out of control to us. It's hard for us in these times to see hope and possibility. It's hard for us to see a future where that kind of chaos doesn't take the energy and doesn't take the toll that it has taken now. Where is God in the chaos that we experience now? What is the voice of God for us? And what is the clarity and the order that will emerge that also reveals God? But I think we need to be a little careful that we don't just go the route of platitudes here, because this is not at all about when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And it's not saying that God is the cause of chaos, pain, and all the experiences that these bring about, but acknowledging simply that chaos happens. It's a part of life. And there is God in the midst of it. He doesn't leave us, abandon us. He's there. And a lot closer to our own time, in 1963, Edward Lorenz developed a model that helped to predict the weather. He's also known as the father of chaos theory. I just kind of think that's funny. But he's a mathematician and a meteorologist. And frankly, how much more chaotic can you get than the weather? You probably know him best for developing what's called the butterfly principle. You know, a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil and forms a tornado in Texas. Lorenz developed a formula that took into consideration things like altitude, speed, and humidity. But when he ran the numbers through his equation, they appeared random, chaotic. They didn't tell him anything. But then he found that if you plot these random numbers over time and look at them in three dimensions, you can see that there's actually a pattern that emerges. And that pattern seems to show that the data points are attracted to a central point. point. This is what became known as the strange attractor. What I hope you can see as we talk about this randomness, this chaos, this strange attractor, is that within the apparent randomness and unpredictability, the chaos, there are underlying patterns, interconnectedness, and organization. As a matter of faith, we could acknowledge that there is chaos in our lives, chaos that none of us would choose or none of us would seek after. Times when we feel completely out of control and at our wit's end. But out of our chaos, we see that God actually is the strange attractor, that central point, that focal point in our lives, who reveals the order, the meaning, the clarity that exists even in our chaos. When we see chaos in our lives, we know that order, that clarity is close at hand. In the chaos of our lives, when we feel that sin and death has control over us, we look to Jesus, the one who came into our world not to condemn but to save, not to leave us stuck in uncertainty and chaos. But in Him, we don't see an absence of chaos. We don't see that if you are a true follower of Jesus, that there needs to be a complete absence of chaos, and instead complete certainty or clarity. See, clarity is not the heart of salvation, but looking to Jesus and clinging for dear life as we endure chaos. Life is messy. Chaos and clarity coexist. Rather than the link between chaos and clarity being linear and moving only in one direction, we find that chaos and clarity, the connection with them is very fluid. We go back and forth between them all of the time. So what will the new normal be for you, for our church, for our communities and our country? How will we see that chaos and clarity can coexist and be fruitful? I don't know how all of this will work out, but I do know that our search for clarity, as we seek the presence of the Holy Spirit in the midst of chaos, as we do this together, as we hold the tension between chaos and clarity, the Holy Spirit will do amazing things with and through us. So whether in times of chaos or in times of clarity, we look to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Amen.